الو،
Bigger view. There we go. Owner is Keith or Beth?
What about me?
It's Keith. No, it says owner again. So I'm gonna put Keith. Yeah, I'm gonna put Keith.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, otherwise I'll get self-conscious.
Indeed. I'm gonna add extra ownership onto.
Yeah. Yeah. On top of the imaginary owner.
Exactly.
As it's an objective label or something. And it occurred to me today that it kind of makes me cry that I don't get to be my own self.
You don't get to be your own self. In what way? You cannot not be yourself.
Well,
So,
my own self in the usual thinking about my own self and my own desires and my own cares, and actually that's I don't really get to be that.
all of this occurs within the dream. So within a dream, you can dream yourself to be anything you want. Tonight, you might lay down to sleep and be president of the United States. Do a very good job as president. And when you wake up, it's finished. But you don't take the touch. Just like in the dream, you know you're dreaming your president, and they say, oh, Mr. President, Russia or China or somebody is attacking us. And okay, play my part and this and that. But you're not like shivering or going to a corner to commit suicide because, oh my God, I'm a bad president. It's just very light. You're still, I mean, you can't get rid of the body. I mean, you can, I guess. You call it suicide, but it's not, it's nothing to worry about. Like, you don't have to stress about the fact that, oh, I kind of miss being Keith. What? Like, this is kind of the opposite of what we're trying to point to. You're playing Keith. Play Keith very well. But if somebody says, oh my God, Keith, you know, I hate you. You're just the worst. You know, every time you come into a room, it just brings like a bad energy. Okay, thank you very much. It doesn't touch me because I'm not Keith. You're speaking about the body-based kind of puppet character that I'm playing. So I'm not worried about this. I think this is Beth coming in. iPhone. Is this Beth?
Yeah, that's Beth normally.
There we go. All right.
It's a lot like a video game, right? I think about that sometimes, like in the sense of like the ultimate reality, like coming through, like right now through whatever JD, this body, mind. But when I'm playing a video game, it's almost, if I can remember that, it lightens, like you said, don't take the touch. It kind of lightens the load. Anyway, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an avatar, basically. Now, avatar is a word that's used in spirituality to say like, oh, some godly guy or whatever. But the truth is, avatar is just a representation of that you are, regardless. The little baby, the criminal, the one who's punishing the criminal, the one who's having the victim of the criminal, all just roles that you are playing. And you don't take the touch. Okay, this is happening. It's not happening. because I know myself in a real sense, there's no way I can be doing any of these things. This true me, this true this cannot be participating. Just as you say, okay, you're sitting there on the couch and you're playing the video game and you're going and you're collecting treasure and then you're jumping over. You don't want to die in the video game, nor do you want to be injured. So you're doing your best in the moment to take care of your character. One of the beautiful things about video games is you're just in the moment. You can't really plan for a future while you're jumping over, you know, things or doing this or that. And even if you plan for a future, a good video game will mess up that plan like very quickly. So you're playing the video game. You, the selfless self, are playing this video game, this three-dimensional video game. But you're in reality not connected with it at all. When the character goes away, when the character loses its lives, game over, but not game over for the one who's playing the game. Or who's basically without you, there could be no game possibility because there'd be no one to perceive a game. So as the games are coming and going, you are not coming and going, just like on the couch. And you can take a red character or a blue character, or maybe you go and you say, you know what, I like this outfit on this character. This time I'm going to play as a woman just to see the kickboxing difference in this video game. I can do whatever I like because it's not me. It's not connected. Game over, game starts. Game over, game starts. The one playing the game is not any of the individuals that are in the game. Because there are no individuals. The individual is just a wrong idea brought about by identification with the body form as this is me. This is not me. Just like if you were to play a video game, think of how serious you would take it. This is me. Like I'm in the game. That's me. And maybe eventually, like virtual reality, you'll be able to feel like pain and stuff like that from your character doing terrible stuff. And you might be more protective. Ooh, you know, I don't want anything bad to happen to my character, to me. Just like I remember in the seventh grade, I was playing Dungeons and Dragons, and you would build up this really cool character with all these like abilities and spells and all that. And then you go and you do the campaign, you play. And you're like, oh, like if you lost that character, it's like, oh, man, I've been with that character for a while building him. He's been through so much experience and now he's gone. I have to start all over again. So see, that's attachment. Just as if we attach to these body forms. Oh, my God, I've had a long association with this body. I don't want this body to go. But the one who's had the association with the body is not the body. And as Maharaj would say, is not, was not, and never will be. I'm sorry, go ahead, Beth.
That's why people don't want to die, because they think their bodies.
Exactly. Would you want to stay asleep forever because you have fell in love with your dream body? You know, it's not real. And if you said, actually, that's another good thing. Netflix, they had this thing where the bodies were sitting there and they were as Sandman. And like in the dream world, you're something, but you don't want to wake up because you're so infatuated with the dream. It was this woman whose husband had died, and yet she could see him in dreams. So she wanted to go into the dream. And he said, listen, since I'm here, stay here forever. But in reality, the body is out there deteriorating because there's no food and no water and no nothing, because she wants to stay in the dream, dreaming. But it's not true. When this body can no longer sustain the essence, you should say, bye-bye. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, passing a stool. That's how this body should be. Okay, I'm leaving. That's it. Finish. I'm no longer playing the body game. And he says, and I forget which book it was, but he says it's like passing a stool. Maharaj has mentioned this in one of his videos. And Nisargadatta Maharaj says, it's like passing a stool. Boop, goodbye. That's it. And he also, Nisargadatta Maharaj uses the example of urination for living. It's just something that's happening. It's just streaming. Okay. And that's that. Not to be very gross. We've come to two different, very different kind of, but these are actual examples of how silly it is to be attached to the actions or attached to the body form. However, if you haven't done the meditation and you don't know yourself in a real sense, death is going to seem very scary. Oh my God, it's the end of me. It's the end of me as I was never really, but it's the beginning of going to who I am. Like, it's the reality. The end of the body is reality. Prior to body is reality. This in between is a nice illusion for a time. You get to play something that you are not. And all bodies will expire. Unless maybe, you know, who knows? That would be a very interesting thing for spirituality too. In 30 years, when I, for instance, am 80 years old, and they say, you know what? We can take this electronic thing and prolong your life forever. So, but why? Like, truly, if you understand yourself and you know yourself, then what is the purpose of extending this? Oh, I want to keep experiencing myself in the illusion. Just like the woman who wanted to stay in the dream with her dead husband. Mm-hmm. But if you know yourself in a real sense, there's no attachment, there's no unattachment. It's not like I'm saying, like Keith, you were saying, oh my God, I can't be me anymore. No, fully live your life. But just know that it's not true. You are that that puts the living in life. The life force, I think Nisargadatta Maharaj calls it. Sri Ramakant Maharaj just says energy, power, you know. You are that. Like space, like sky. The electricity, whether all the things are in the house are off or on, electricity is still available and ready to power whatever happens to be needing power. Or even when you're looking at the trees and they're cycling through, you know, imagine if a tree had sentience and said, oh my God, I'm losing my leaves. I think I'm dying. It's getting cold. I know I'm dying. I have no leaves and I'm getting colder. I know I'm dying. This is silliness. And we're doing the same, identified with this body. Oh, this body's doing this. Oh, this body's doing that. Oh, this body is feeling this way. Oh, I'm very depressed. Oh, I have sadness. No, there's a disturbance in the five elements. Your leaves are falling off and it's getting a little chilly. But leaves will come again and it will get warm.
You mentioned that I can still be myself, just realize it's not true. But I think that's where my mind has always convinced me that what I think is being, I think is true. It's like the difference between truth and being, or knowing and being.
Being is just I, just I. Who is there to say this is my being?
And so I think I know being, but I don't know being.
Being, you could say, I am, sense of existence, yeah. just I. This is being. So when you get to this point and you say, okay, prior to being this is the one that this just I has appeared, that can sense this just I, that can sense this I am. And without this I am, the one that was able to sense this, or that this I am was added onto, of course, would be there.
The sense of knowing being is where identification takes place. And that's not
No, true. you can have just I. Just I is identification with being. This subtle sense of presence,
but it's not,
when I'm
it's,
sitting with myself in meditation, this is myself.
It's divested from a limited knowing.
Forget about knowing and all this kind of stuff. It's just when I sit in meditation, this subtle sense of presence is myself. And now, how can this subtle sense of presence that I'm feeling now, when I'm in meditation, when I'm quietly with myself, how can it be interacting with this world? How can it be affected whether this body is here or not? The body is kind of a tuning fork to tune in to the sense of presence to let me know that I'm more than this body. And that prior to being this, I am. Because if I was not, then there would be no beingness. To whom would beingness appear? When you eat a chocolate cake, there's the plate that's left. Or something that cake was sitting on.
It's unexplainable.
Needless, they say, okay, which came first, chicken or the egg? And that's a silliness because both are illusion. You could say, from the standpoint that the chicken may have known itself as something separate before the egg did. And then when the egg hatches, then it knows itself as something separate. But nothing is true. Neither one is separate. Formless presence with a sense of existence that's identified with the body, because that's the first time the sense of existence was known.
And neither the chicken or the egg put itself there.
It was spontaneous.
Yeah. It just came from out of the unexplained presence.
Coming from the knowingness I exist, an entire world is created with chickens and eggs. But it's not true. It's all illusion. Because you're formless. And there's no way for formlessness to suddenly, like, turn to form. It's not like this. Like, we can't say that this formless, but the space in the room, even if it becomes self-aware, so to speak, using a body form, it can see objects within the room, but it never becomes the objects, nor does it have any correlation with those objects.
And so I don't get to be me. I don't get to be a chicken either.
You are a chicken. You are the egg. You are the dudes that are slaughtering the chickens and the people that are enjoying the chicken eating at the dinner table. You are. Only you are. There is nothing else. Everything else is just illusion brought about by the sense of existence, which created the concept of duality and was identified with a body form, just as if the space in the room suddenly were to wake itself in this body and look and say, oh, look at all this world. But it's the space. It forgets it's the space because the first time it knows sentience or knows I am is with a body form. And immediately a body is seeing things. And those things are then thought to be something because the belief in being a thing is impressed. And it's impressed very quickly. Like,
yeah, that's right. Think. That's what I mean by knowing. It's like seeming knowing, but it's not real. It's not knowing of being. It's not. It's false. It's not true. It's not real known. It's not,
everything that can be known is not yourself, nor has anything to do with you.
Yeah.
That's why everything you've done, every person you've met, every experience you've ever had is all within that bubble of illusion. The consciousness, whatever you want to call it. You've never done anything outside the consciousness. Even when you know yourself in a real sense, that's being done within the consciousness. That's why they say it's pointing. Pointing. Prior to beingness, how were you? Well, prior to beingness, you are. The sense of existence creates the bubble of illusion in which all the experiencing is happening, and identification with one of the characters within that as this is me. Same as dream. There's no difference between dream and waking world. So this is a spontaneous action. It's like, oh. And even when you say, oh, I know myself in a real sense, formlessness, but you're still within the bubble of illusion, knowing yourself in a real sense. You just know that there is something prior to illusion. But your knowingness is still within the bubble of illusion. I think we had used the example of a goldfish in the bowl. You can swim all around and do all this stuff and maybe have a little fish family and all that, but it's always going to be in the fish bowl. All the experience, all the everything. And yet, if you ask the fish, so all your experiences in the fish bowl, the fish would say, well, what's a fish bowl? Because this is my environment. This is where I am. I know myself in this environment. I don't know anything about a fish bowl, nor do I really probably know anything about water, because that is just a normal part of my experience. I know about air, because if you take me out of my fish bowl and throw me on the floor, I'm gasping. I can no longer breathe. But I don't know water, because water is just a natural part of my existence. And for us, presence is a natural part of our existence that's covered over by layers of illusion. And because we're so used to looking at illusion, we get lost from our own self. So now we just sit back. Oh, so that I am that. I no longer dance in the illusory world. I remain with my selfless self and go about, do my job, do my duties. As you said, be Keith. You can be Keith without having to attach with Keith. Again, just like a play. You've played your role very well. Everybody's clapping. The curtain calls, so to speak, when this is time to leave the body. Take a bow, and it's finished.
It's just so convincing that something can't be real unless it's known. You know,
I was just reading in Das Boot about all the things. It's very interesting, actually. I don't remember the chapter, but you can look it up in Das Boot. It talks about what is reality. And it says, like, you know, the magician, how he can show an illusion and you believe it to be true, because somebody asks him, he says, well, if I can see it with my eyes, it must be real. And Das Boot just goes through like 70 different verses checking off that most everything you see with your eyes can be dispelled quite easily. Mm-hmm. You know, the magician and his magic tricks, the mirage in the desert, you know, it appears very real. Try to take a drink. Or the reflection of the moon. Or I think it also uses in Das Boot the animals when they're going to the lake to take a drink, they're seeing themselves. There's a whole nother world in the reflection of the animal in the illusion. So it's not real. Like I said, you have to check it out in Das Boot. It's probably because I just started the book again. I kind of read a little bit every morning. So it's probably, I would say, in the very front of the book. But it goes on to talk about that, you know, all these things that I think are real can be easily dispelled. And the most easiest way to dispel all illusion is remain with your selfless self. Meditate, sit there. There's a subtle sense of presence. Just I. While there's belief in being a body with a mind, you turn that mind inward into that sense of presence, the attention. And you just be in that jacuzzi of peace and bliss. Mm-hmm. That Satchitananda. But then understand that don't get addicted to the Satchitananda, because you are to the one to whom this appears. Who's seeing this Satchitananda? Who's seeing this bliss? Who's enjoying all of this? All of this is appearing in your spontaneous presence. And that's why Maharaj says, when did you come across with your problems? When did you come across with all these different things that you say in your life are so important? When you came across with the body. Prior to body, you had no problems. You had no physical problems. You had no mental problems. You had no emotional problems. You had no anger, no nothing was there. So you know, if I am not body, then all these things that I'm experiencing through the body-based existence are false. And they're only for a short time. Because when I'm no longer holding the body, I won't be experiencing all these things anymore. There will no longer be anger, frustration, despair, happiness, sadness, nothing, because all of that is in the bubble of illusion. Just like the example we use in the beginning of the president, I, in my dream, I'm president, and I'm handling the world affairs, and I'm doing a very great job. I mean, I'm really the great president, and I'm going to run for re-election. And then I wake up. I was only president in the illusion. And thank God we don't claw our way. We identify with the dream character, but we're also very easily to get rid of that. We wake up, okay, dream character, that's it. Imagine if we held on to the dream body as much as we held on to the waking consciousness body. You'd be fighting not to wake up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't wake up. Oh, no. And imagine how traumatic that would be every single night.
I remember for a while in my teens, I had a short period when I was doing lucid dreaming, and I was enjoying it so much, I really didn't like waking up.
Yeah, identification with a dream character, you know? So don't identify with this character, and then whatever is going on, it's going on. It's only for a short time. While the body is available, I'm going to be experiencing these things. And within the body-based illusion, eventually a doctor will probably come and say, well, you know, you've had your time. Make peace with whatever you need to make peace with. And that's it. That's when you just remain with yourself, with self. Like Maharaj says, nobody's born, nobody dies. Who is being born? Who is dying? But if you're only like attending satsang and reading books and you're not spending time with yourself and you're not meditating and you're doing the spiritual tickets on your deathbed, you will be shivering. Because if you don't know yourself in a real sense, wow, the experience is going to be, I am dying. If you know yourself in a real sense, even if somebody says you're dying, you'll have to kind of laugh to yourself internally. Well, no. I mean, that's okay. You can say I'm dying. Is this good? Okay, no problem. If nothing's born, nothing dies. This body will no longer be available. And all the friends and family that hang around okay, now John has passed away. He's in the casket. They might come and say, oh, last respects and all that. Then boom, you're in the ground or burned or buried. And that's it. Like Maharaj says, they won't take this body and be like, you know, we love John so much. We're going to keep him on this couch. You know, He's going to be on that couch because we can't live without him.
In a sense, it can't really make any difference whether you are feeling like you are, it's you that's dying, or if you're free of that feeling that it's you.
No, it'll make a big difference. If you really believe you're dying, yeah, it's going to be a terrifying experience.
But who does it make a difference to?
Well, the you believe yourself to be that will be losing the consciousness of the world.
Yeah, it makes a difference to you, but not really. It doesn't really make a difference.
Well, and again, you could say the same thing about this dream world that we're in right now. You could say, okay, it doesn't make a difference if I go out and shoot a lot of people or do terrible stuff. But it does.
Yeah.
Because it's the way... Remember, the thought activity, the mind flow, if you're identifying in an egoistic sense of it's not going to make a difference or this or that, the idea is to not have to surrender or detach, because there's nothing to surrender and there's nothing to detach. You know yourself in a real sense.
I think it's tricky thinking in terms
of... But that's why you don't have to think.
Yeah.
I think Maharaj used the example of the people who name their sons like Shiva and something else, Brahma and Shiva or something like this, because they say, oh, if you say the names of God at the end, you will definitely go to the heavenly place and this and that. And he wanted to make sure, okay, you know what? I've got it covered. So when I'm on my deathbed, I'll be saying the names of my sons. And then I will actually say the name of God and I'll be transported into the next dimension and all will be lovely. However, he sees both sons there. He's about to leave. And the thought comes to him, oh, who's minding the store? So even with all that preparation of being ready to say the name of God and fly away peacefully, his mind presses in and says, who's minding the store? So he's thinking about this store. And if you believe in this sort of thing, then you're reincarnated in the whole store concept. It's not true, but this is the belief. So when you say, well, it doesn't really matter if I leave the body knowing that I'm not dying, or if I leave the body and I know I am dying, or I believe I'm dying, but... We know that time in the mind, you could be suffering for 100 years thinking about the dying that's only taking a minute. So why identify with the thought flow? Know yourself in a real sense.
It's all false. So yeah, you don't want to die in a false.
Yeah, who wants to die in a terror? Like Maharaj says, you'll shiver on your deathbed. Even the strongest warrior type people will shiver on their deathbed with the concept, I am dying. I don't want to let go. And how long might this last? Like a minute, you know, in a dream. You can dream a year in a couple of, like maybe 10 minutes, and you can dream an entire year worth of stuff. So imagine suffering because you are holding on to an identity that's not true because you believe yourself to die. Rather than now, I remain with myself as self. Master says, I have to do meditation. Meditation, like he says, not sitting like this. Oh, no. Meditation is just sitting. We have mantra. We can mantra. And then this subtle, subtle sense of presence. Oh, so that I am that. This nectar of immortality, I need to drink it. I need to drink it so much that it fills this whole physical body to the point where there's no separation between this physical body and that presence that I am, because I know this physical body is within this presence that I am. And now, whether the body's there or not, I am. I will never
not be. You aren't going to know that when you die. You won't know the I am anymore.
Well, you know yourself in a real sense now. So the concept of dying won't be impressed. You absolutely know whether the body's here or not, I am.
Yes. Yes. But you won't be conscious of it.
But you're not really conscious of it now. Everything that's occurring is within the bubble of illusion.
Well, you're conscious of it when you have the intoxication of the fun of the selfless self. You're aware of that
within the bubble of illusion. Yes,
in the bubble of illusion.
Yes, because of the body form available. A body form is available, and therefore that Satchitananda, that sense of existence, that just I, that I am, can be felt. Yes. But the one to whom it appeared, you are. Yes. Again, you lay down at night. You won't experience the same dream night after night after night, but you're not crawling and saying, oh my God, I'm no longer going to experience this dream. This is the conviction. The conviction deep, 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 deep that this entire world is appearing on spontaneous presence. And somehow, I am the energy and the force, the projector, not the projections. And again, it's individuality that we're speaking of, because think, okay, we've seen people leave the body. Presence is no longer operating through that body form. Presence is still operating through the other body forms. So presence doesn't leave, like there's no, only if it was individual. If it was